My name is Eric Hufschmid. I wrote the book Painful Questions, an analysis of the September 11th attack. The following speech was for a meeting in March 2004 of 9/11 activists. Will the groups of people who are trying to expose the 9/11 scam end up as ineffective as the groups trying to expose the President Kennedy assassination, the Oklahoma City scam, and all other scams? Every year, some Kennedy investigators get together in Dallas to discuss the crime, and some investigators are still searching for evidence to prove that Oswald was a patsy. But what effect have those people had? Every nation's government is still committing crimes, and our history books still teach children that Oswald killed Kennedy. Many people try to cheer me up by telling me that information about the 9/11 attack is spreading quickly. They point out that the Kennedy assassination and other scams were too small to interest many people, but the 9/11 attack was so big that the entire world is getting involved. I am also told that the Phone Facts campaign that occurred in March of 2004 had a tremendous effect on our government. And I am told that the MoveOn organization is growing rapidly. MoveOn claims to be a network of 1.7 million activists. An organization that size could bring significant changes to the nation. But what is this organization doing to make the world a better place? I don't know much about MoveOn or George Soros. But the group is not saying anything about 9/11 that we cannot find on the CNN headline news. All they do is complain about Bush, in which case they should change their name to the Kerry for President Committee. There are certainly a few individuals within the MoveOn organization who are trying to spread information about 9/11, but the leaders of that organization are not educating those 1.7 million members about 9/11. The people in the MoveOn group that I personally met did not even know what Building 7 was, let alone that it collapsed. Are the leaders of MoveOn afraid to talk about the 9/11 issue? Are they worried they may end up in a mysterious plane crash like Paul Wellstone? I don't see any harm in asking questions about Soros or the MoveOn organization, but I was shocked to find 9/11 activists reprimand me with such remarks as, "Soros is spending a lot of his money to help us get rid of Bush." My response is, "So what? I don't owe blind obedience to Soros just because he's spending money. Besides, some of us are spending our time and money on this 9/11 activity. So why not tell Soros that he owes us something? Furthermore, how did Soros get so much money? Did he earn that incredible amount of money by doing an incredible amount of useful work for the world? Or did he merely exploit weaknesses in our laws and take advantage of our trust? For all we know, if the governments of the world were more respectable, Soros never would have been allowed to acquire so much money in the first place. For all we know, his moral standards are lower than those of George Bush." The MoveOn and 9/11 activists demand honesty from the Bush administration, but some of them try to stop me from asking questions about Soros, MoveOn, and other self-appointed leaders of this 9/11 movement. The people who reprimand me for asking about the 9/11 movement should take the hypocrisy to such an extreme that it becomes amusing. For example, why not tell me, "You are either with us or against us"? Or how about, "Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories in regards to the motives of the 9/11 movement"? Or why not accuse me of being part of the Axis of Evil? How is this 9/11 movement going to attract respectable people when they are as secretive as the Bush administration? How is this movement going to make a better nation when so many of the people involved cannot tolerate questions about their own leaders? I'm not afraid of people asking questions about me. Why are some people in this 9/11 and MoveOn movement so afraid of questions? Some people want to file lawsuits to get information about the September 11th attack. Do we have to file lawsuits to learn about Soros and other mysterious 9/11 leaders? Removing George Bush from office seems to be the primary focus of both the MoveOn group and this 9/11 movement. And some people are demanding trials for the people involved in the 9/11 attack. But what good does it do to impeach George Bush? How do we know John Kerry will be better? Joseph Stalin was the replacement for Lenin, but was that an improvement? How will impeaching George Bush give us a better tax system? Or better cities? Or a better educational system? How will electing John Kerry reduce the number of orphans? Or improve television news reports? Or make our legal system more honest? If George Bush truly is the problem with America, then impeaching Bush would solve all our problems. We would then be able to hold hands, sing songs, and live happily ever after. But what if George Bush is not the problem with America? What if America's problem is actually a bunch of problems? For example, what if part of the reason we have a corrupt government is that our system of anonymous voting with touchscreens is being manipulated? And what if part of the reason our candidates are crummy is that the method of running for office and begging for millions of dollars is so unpleasant that the majority of people would never even consider becoming a candidate? If America's problem is actually a combination of hundreds of complex problems, then removing Bush from office will not do anything to help us because another crummy government will be put in its place. What do we do then? Start the process over and hate that new president? How many times do we have to suffer through a crummy government before it occurs to us that maybe the imbecile who gets elected president is not the problem? That maybe we need to experiment with changes in our election system, our legal system, and other government systems? How much corruption, inefficiency, chaos, and traffic jams do we have to suffer through before it occurs to us that maybe Bush is not our problem? That maybe we need to take our nation to the repair shop and give it an overhaul? Sometimes I wonder if the reason George Bush was selected to be president is because the CIA wanted somebody that the public could easily hate just in case there was an outrage over the 9/11 attack. While we are busy hating George Bush, we don't notice that there are other people in our government manipulating elections, running more scams, and deceiving us with false news reports. This is similar to what a magician does. He fools you into watching one of his hands while the other hand is setting up a trick. George Bush may be equivalent to Osama. Maybe he is just a patsy who is provided to us so that we waste our time complaining about him rather than doing something useful. It is equivalent to tossing raw meat to wild dogs to keep the dogs away from you. I think the anti-war movement was taken over many years ago by the people who run these scams. As an example, do you recall the 1991 bombing of Iraq? There were numerous anti-war leaders, many from Hollywood, who claimed to oppose the war but support the troops. To understand how deceptive that is, imagine China decides to attack America and Canada. Imagine as nuclear bombs are destroying our cities, you notice that millions of Chinese citizens are complaining to stop the war. You are hopeful that the war will soon stop. But then a large group of Chinese actors, professors, and government officials appear on television and convince the Chinese citizens that the war is indeed wrong, but they do not have to support the war. They only have to support the troops. I never noticed any anti-war movement in 1991. I only saw a propaganda campaign to deceive us into letting the war continue on the grounds that we were supporting the troops, not the war. I think this 9/11 movement is becoming the same farce as the anti-war movement. I think these 9/11 groups have been dominated in an attempt to make sure we have no effect on the world. For example, I've been complaining for a long time that we have enough evidence that the attack was a scam, and that we can stop wasting time looking for more evidence. Every hour we spend searching for more evidence is an hour that we could have spent on something productive, such as spreading the information to other people, or discussing what to do to make the nation better. For more than a year, I've been listening to complaints that we don't have enough information, or that nobody yet has a book or video about 9/11 that is good enough to release to the public. I am told that we must wait. But wait for what? Wait for a perfect book or video to come along? Wait until we have every possible bit of evidence about the scam? These are nothing more than attempts to manipulate us into doing nothing. If we wait for the perfect book or video, we will be waiting forever. How can any book or video be perfect? And how can we wait for all evidence about the scam? No matter how much evidence we have, someone could complain we don't have enough. The people who commit these scams are not getting away with them because we lack evidence, and they're not getting away with them because our books and videos are too crummy to present to the public. I am not advocating that everybody stop looking for evidence. Rather, I'm saying that while some people look for evidence, the rest of us have more than enough evidence to prove the attack was a scam, and we should start getting this information out to the public. At the end of my book, I have two chapters about the Kennedy assassination. I need to rewrite parts of it because nobody seems to understand why I included it. What I was trying to point out is that the assassination is so obviously a scam that a person only has to read a small portion of the Warren Report to realize it. Nobody has to do any investigations. Nobody has to travel to the crime scene or interview witnesses. There is more than enough evidence in the Warren Report. The government inadvertently put all the information we need right in front of our faces. All we have to do is open our eyes. There is nothing wrong with investigating the Kennedy assassination even further, but the rest of us should not wait for all details to be discovered. There is more than enough information in the Warren Report to prove the killing was a scam. Further investigations only provide additional details on who was involved and what their motives were. By the way, I think our government has learned from that mistake, because if you look at the reports about Oklahoma City and 9/11, the reports do not have much information about the attack. I think our government has realized that the more they say, the more they hurt themselves. The best policy for a corrupt government is to ignore the issues, to fake ignorance and stupidity. So, if we have enough evidence to prove the 9/11 attack was a scam, how could they possibly get away with it? The same reasons they got away with the Kennedy assassination and the Oklahoma City bombing and all other scams. One technique is to infiltrate the groups who try to expose the scams and either dominate them or encourage them to waste their time and money on useless activities. A more important technique is to get control over the media and provide deceptive news to the public. Watching people's reaction to my book has shown me that there is one other very important reason they get away with these scams. Specifically, lots of people are so upset by these scams that they try to ignore the issue. We can see this with the Kennedy assassination also. In 1964, only a few people realized that the Kennedy assassination was a scam. If we could travel back in time and talk to some of the activists in the 1960s, we would hear some of the same remarks that we hear from the 9/11 activists. Specifically, they would tell us that they are optimistic about Kennedy because every day more people realize that the Kennedy assassination was a scam. They would tell us that soon the situation will improve. By the 1970s, millions of Americans were wondering if something was wrong with the official story. During the 1980s, Oliver Stone made a movie about it, and there were many books to explain suspicious aspects of the assassination. And look at the situation today. It is possible that the majority of the world's population suspects that the assassination was a scam. But what good has that knowledge done the world? Has that knowledge made any government more honest? As information about the Kennedy scam spread throughout America, A few people became stimulated to make a better world. Carol Brulé is an example. She told me that Oliver Stone's movie caused her to get involved in political issues. But I think that most people reacted to the information by becoming disillusioned with America. The information upset them, and it reduced their morale, created a distrust of government, and increased their apathy. This large group of disillusioned people made the nation worse, not better. Look at American history from 1963 to today and tell me, as information about the Kennedy scam spread throughout the population, can you see any improvements because of it? I see attitudes towards government becoming worse, not better. I see apathy increasing, not decreasing. Discovering that our government killed Kennedy is like discovering our father is robbing banks. Some people might react by trying to make the situation better, but most people become upset and try to ignore the information. Today, the majority of Americans may suspect that Oswald had help in killing President Kennedy, but the lies persist in our history books and encyclopedias that Oswald was the only person responsible. The Kennedy investigators achieved their goal of exposing the scam, but what good has it done? Children are still being raised on the official government lies, and governments are still committing crimes. For those of you who know about the Paul Wellstone airplane accident, consider that if he was murdered, that means our government is still murdering government officials. In which case, what good have the Kennedy investigators done? The knowledge that Oswald was a patsy will not by itself correct our history books, nor will that knowledge give us a better tax system, a better legal system, or better government officials. If we want a better nation, we must do something to make the nation better. The world's problems will not magically disappear just because we realize the Kennedy killing was a scam. And consider the Oklahoma City bombing. It has been almost 10 years since that scam. Every day a few more people discover that it was a scam. But is that knowledge making the nation a better place? For all we know, as knowledge of that scam spreads, its main effect on the nation is to increase apathy and reduce morale. Now consider the 9/11 scam. Every day, perhaps hundreds of people discover that the attack was a scam. Information is traveling much faster with this scam because of the internet and because people in foreign nations are talking about it. It's possible that by next year, a few billion people will realize that the attack was a scam. But will this realization make the world a better place? Will this realization cause somebody to correct the lies in our history books? Will it cause television reporters to give us honest news? Will it prevent the Al-Qaeda Navy from attacking us with nuclear bombs? Will it give us a respectable president in 2004? The information about the 9/11 attack will not by itself make the world a better place. Information is an intangible entity, but an intangible entity cannot build better cities for us, nor can it give us better governments. Information is of value only if we do something with it. If all we do is gather information about the 9/11 attack, we will never improve anything. We must do something with this information. But do what? And how can we figure out what to do if the 9/11 activists focus their attention on hating George Bush? Or if they focus their attention on finding every detail about the scam? Imagine that your car breaks down. You take it to an auto repair shop where the mechanics behave exactly like 9/11 activists. The mechanics begin a thorough inspection of your car in order to determine what the problem is. They produce report after report and video after video that documents every detail about the car's problems. You find yourself impressed with their meticulous work. They uncover problems you didn't even know about. A week later, you drop by the shop and ask if your car is ready, but they tell you they're still investigating. This goes on week after week. A year later, you ask for your car, but they tell you they still have not finished the investigation. You point out that they've got so many books and videos already, but they respond that none of them are conclusive, that they need a better book, and they need more details. Imagine this goes on for decades. At what point would you tell them that they've got enough information and that they should take what they've got and do something with it? Wouldn't it occur to you that the car is never going to get fixed if all they do is investigate? Wouldn't it occur to you that they must take the information they've got, propose repairs for the car, and then let you decide which of those proposals to implement? When I complain that we're wasting our time by hating Bush and trying to dig up every detail about the attack, some people respond that if we discuss how to fix the nation, we will be discussing our opinions, and that will cause arguments and turn people away from the 9/11 movement. Therefore, we should keep our discussions to the scientific evidence about the attack. What would you think if your car mechanics told you that they did not want to discuss possible repairs for your car because every time they tried to discuss the issue, they disagreed with one another and got into arguments? During 2002, I would see remarks from 9/11 investigators that we should not discuss such controversial issues as explosives in the towers. We should keep the discussion to the possibility that Bush knew the attack was going to take place. Their reasoning was that nobody can prove that the towers were brought down by explosives, so if we discuss such speculative issues, we will create controversy and arguments. This in turn would cause people to avoid the 9/11 movement, rather than join it. Therefore, in order to attract people to this movement, we should keep the meetings focused on George Bush. Fortunately, some of us refused to believe that nonsense. The Power Hour radio show, for example, brought me on their radio show a few days before my book became available. They were not concerned that discussing explosives in the towers were going to turn people away from the 9/11 movement. Instead, their attitude was to get this information out, and now. Some people in Austin, Texas, also discussed this information on their access television shows. So why are some of these 9/11 activists trying to focus us on George Bush? Do they worry that if we discuss other issues, we might eventually realize that our CIA, FBI, and other government agencies are more involved with these scams than George Bush? Are they worried that we might realize that George Bush is a puppet? Are they worried that we might switch from complaining about Bush to complaining about the CIA? Are they worried we might realize that these secret agencies are the primary problem in the world, and that the founders of America would never approve of secret agencies that have no accountability? If the CIA provided information to the government, then it could be a valuable agency. But they have already proven that they are not merely an information-gathering agency. For example, in November 2002, a Predator drone fired a missile at a man in Afghanistan. The news reports told us that the Predator came from the CIA. The U.S. military also had Predators, but only for surveillance. They did not have any drones that were capable of firing missiles. If we can believe the U.S. military, that means the CIA had secretly taken surveillance aircraft and modified them to fire missiles, creating a new weapon system. The firing of that missile proves the CIA is lying to us. They are not merely an information-gathering agency. They have been secretly developing advanced military weapons. This should lead you to wonder, what other weapons have they developed that we don't know about? How many times does somebody have to lie to you before you start questioning everything he says? How many times does the government have to lie before you start thinking that maybe there are more to America's problems than George Bush? I've heard a lot of people defend the CIA as necessary for our security. But for all we know, the management of the CIA is so incompetent that they are more like a fungus that is destroying this nation. They may be destroying their own employees also. Consider that the rumors are true that some CIA employees are paid to maintain the government scams by writing deceptive news reports, bribery, lies, and deception. If there are such people, how would such a job affect their attitude towards life? Is it possible for them to enjoy life? Or does the endless lying and deception bother them? Life is most enjoyable when we never lie. Lying is unpleasant because it requires you to remember everything you said to every person. It puts stress on you. You cannot relax and say what you want. Instead, you have to think about what to say in order to maintain the network of lies. The more lies you create, the greater the stress will be on you to remember and maintain those lies. If our government is paying people to deceive us, I think it would be interesting to see what effect it has on their attitudes and their life. Can they maintain stable relationships? After many years of lies, do they sometimes lose track of what is real and what is a lie? Do they slowly become emotionally defective zombies who lose interest in life? I don't have answers to those questions, but if it turns out that our government is paying people to lie to us, and if it turns out that those people are emotionally damaged from the lying, then we would be doing the CIA employees a favor by getting rid of the CIA. We would be liberating them from their miserable existence. One of the reasons some people refuse to believe that our government is involved in 9/11 is because they cannot see any sensible motive. These people point out that America lost billions of dollars in the attack, and billions more were spent fixing the subways and buildings, and billions more are being spent on these wars. This is a very large investment of money and human life. Why would so many government employees be willing to invest so much money and so many lives unless the benefit is equally large? But who is benefiting to such an extent that it would justify such a large crime? Some people suggest that a few rich families or corporations are doing this for money. But why would our military attack its own headquarters and spend tens of billions of dollars just so some rich people could make a few more million dollars? Other people suggest that the motive was to get oil. But what oil have we gotten? And who is getting it? Some people think that maybe the attack was to kill Arabs. But just look at the photos of the traffic jams in Iraq. Only a tiny percentage of the Iraqi population had been killed. So if the purpose was to kill Arabs, they failed miserably. It's difficult to find a motive for this attack. The attack seems to be hurting America, not helping us. This has caused some people to come to the conclusion that perhaps the purpose of the attack was to destroy America, not help it. There are lots of theories that a small group of rich families or some secret society is trying to destroy all nations so that they can take control of the world. David Icke suggests that some reptilian race is trying to destroy the planet so that they can take control. A man I personally know has come to the conclusion that some type of alien force has gotten inside people's minds and is causing them to behave in a destructive manner so that it can eventually take control of the planet. While it's possible that some secret society or alien force is trying to get control of the planet, it's also possible that the CIA and other agencies are dominated by people with mental problems. They may have truly believed that killing President Kennedy would make America a better nation, and they may have truly believed that 9/11 would help America. When their scams fail, perhaps they convince themselves that they actually achieved partial success. Or perhaps they come to the conclusion that another scam will correct the mistake. In other words, perhaps our government is full of lunatics who are taking us on a wild ride in a misguided attempt to help us. I find this possibility amusing to a certain extent. Imagine that you just graduated from cooking school and you just started a job as a chef in a fancy restaurant. You do your best to make wonderful dinners that evening. How would you feel if, at the end of the evening, a waitress mentions that some customers were wondering if the reason the food was so bad was because the chef was part of a secret society that was trying to take control of the world, or that some alien force had gotten into the chef's brain in order to destroy the planet? While a secret society may be trying to destroy the world, I suspect that a lot of the people who joined in on the Kennedy killing and the 9/11 attack were just ordinary citizens who thought they were helping America. Perhaps the secret society is deceiving government officials into thinking they are helping the world. Investigating the 9/11 attack is merely the first step in making a better world. The second step is to spread the information that the investigation uncovers. The third step would be to use this information to propose possible repairs to our nation. And the fourth step is to start experimenting with the nation by implementing some of those proposals. I say we already completed the first step. In fact, we investigated more than we needed to. The second step is to spread information, but that is not as easy as it seems. The biggest problem with spreading information about 9/11 is that the majority of people do not want to learn about it because it upsets them. Information about Janet Jackson and Harry Potter spread around the world in a matter of hours because people enjoy those issues. But 9/11 information is not spreading quickly. Based on the people that I personally know, the majority of people simply cannot handle this information. For example, my mother reluctantly watched my video, but she still has not told her brother or sister about 9/11 on the grounds that it would upset them because they are Bush supporters. Compare my mother to Carol Brulé. Carol reacted to Oliver Stone's movie by becoming politically active, and today she spends a lot of her time spreading information about 9/11 to other people. She also arranges meetings for us to get together. By comparison, my mother reacted to my video by pretending she never saw it. Most people are like my mother. When the information reaches them, it stops traveling because they don't like the information, and they don't want to upset other people with it. My mother wants to be a good girl who does what she's supposed to do. She believes that we should follow our government, not rebel against it. As I tried to explain at the end of my video, humans follow one another. Some of us are more independent than others, but none of us will stray too far from the acceptable path. This is why there is so little deviation in our clothing styles, especially men's clothing. There are some people who appear to be extremely independent, such as the people who split their tongues or cut off their fingertips. But a lot of those independent activities are due to anger or self-pity, not independence. Nobody can seriously describe himself as 100% independent. All of us alter our behavior in order to get the approval of other people. This is not a characteristic that we should be ashamed of. If we had respectable leaders, then it would be okay for the majority of people to follow the leader. This characteristic is a problem only when our leaders are crummy. My mother is so concerned about following the leader that there was a time when my sister was deviating from a recipe, and my mother complained, "Stop it! The recipe does not call for that!" How can we expect a woman who has trouble deviating from a recipe to deal with something like the 9/11 attack? Trying to educate people about 9/11 is difficult because most people are like my mother. Most people want somebody else to make decisions for them. Most people want to follow recipes, not create their own. Most people want to know what the latest clothing styles are. They don't want to start a new style. If you wander away from the crowd, you risk criticism for being different. By comparison, if you remain with the crowd and mimic other people, if somebody criticizes your clothing or opinions, they are criticizing the entire crowd, not just you. When farmers want to put their sheep into a pen, they can use dogs to chase the sheep. People can be herded into pens also, but not with dogs. Instead, people can be manipulated with criticism. The people who wander away from the crowd, rather than do as they are told, are criticized, and most of them respond by rushing back to the crowd. People can also easily be manipulated with praise, smiles, and entertainment. This technique is often used in politics and business. The successful businessmen and politicians praise people and make them feel good. For example, at the supermarkets in my city, the cashiers usually say hello to the customers and ask if we found what we were looking for. Your first reaction to these friendly cashiers is that the cashier really cares about us. There are certainly times when a cashier is in a talkative mood, but most of the time when these cashiers talk to us, it is because the corporate executives ordered them to fake friendship. Next time you get off an airplane, notice that the crew members stand near the door and say goodbye to you. Certainly some of them are occasionally in a talkative mood, but most of the time when they say goodbye to you, it is because the corporate executives are demanding they fake friendship. The successful businessmen have noticed that they can attract customers by faking friendship. Some people care more about money than the society they live in, so they don't care that they are making life awkward for the employees who are forced to fake friendship. How absurd does this situation have to get before you complain that employees are not tools for businesses to use to manipulate us? When will we consider the possibility that there is something wrong with America's attitudes towards money, life, and people? When do we stop complaining about George Bush and start realizing that this nation is seriously messed up? I bring this subject up to point out that people are suckers for praise and friendship, even if it is fake friendship. Also, I want to point out that people avoid criticism. These qualities allow us to be manipulated. For example, the government will praise the people who follow the official theories and criticize the others as conspiracy nuts. Spreading information about the 9/11 attack is difficult because people such as my mother have a low tolerance for criticism. She even complained that she was insulted by the image in my video of the sheep with a human face. The information about the 9/11 attack is more upsetting than my mother can handle, so she wants to forget that she learned about it. How are we going to spread information about this attack when so many people are like my mother? To summarize this so far, the first step is to investigate the attack, and the second step is to spread information about it. This brings us to the third step, which nobody wants to talk about. Specifically, what are we going to do with this information? Are we just going to get together once in a while to discuss the scam, as the Kennedy investigators do? Is this 9/11 movement going to become nothing but a social club? I have nothing against forming a social club. In fact, it may be a lot of fun to get together to socialize, but I was hoping that we could have a beneficial effect on the world. Talking to each other about the scam will never cause our crummy train systems to vanish and be replaced by trains that are as nice as European trains, nor will creating more 9/11 websites reduce corporate corruption, reduce car theft or rapes, or give us more intelligent television news. We must do something with this knowledge in order to make the world better. We must analyze the problems we face and propose repairs to our society. Then we have to be brave enough to implement some of those proposals and watch the nation to see if those changes are making our situation better or if they are making it worse. We have to be willing to experiment with our tax system, our educational system, and election system in order to make it better. This is what engineers do when they design products, so why are we afraid to do this with our nation? When I complain that we can make our nation better, some people respond that we are helpless. They complain that we are under the control of some secret society, the CIA, the military establishment, or some rich families. It may be true that lots of people are trying to control America, but that doesn't mean we are helpless. The voters are responsible for their crummy government, but humans do not like taking responsibility for our problems. Whenever something goes wrong in our lives, we look for an excuse. We might blame some intangible entity, such as society or poverty, or we might blame some mysterious groups of people, such as rich families or the CIA. Many people respond to me that the voters have no choice during the elections because the elections are controlled by the CIA or the secret societies. They tell me that in the 2000 election, these mysterious people forced us to select between Al Gore and George Bush. And in the 2004 election, these mysterious people are forcing us to select between John Kerry and George Bush. But this is nonsense. It may be true that a few rich families selected Al Gore and George Bush to be candidates in the 2000 election, and it may be true that some small group has manipulated the 2004 elections to get John Kerry nominated. But those rich families cannot force you to vote for their candidates. Just because some secret society put Bush and Gore on the ballot doesn't mean you had to vote for either candidate. In fact, I remember some people advocating new elections with new candidates. But those people were a very small percentage of the population. Millions of people truly believed that Gore and Bush were qualified to be president. My mother, her brother, her sister, and many of my neighbors were certain that Bush was an intelligent, responsible man who could lead this nation. Some of my other relatives were certain that Al Gore was a qualified leader. There were only a few people scattered around the nation who were complaining that neither of those guys was suitable for president. The voters are not helpless. The voters even have the freedom to write a person's name on the ballot. The voters could have elected you as president simply by writing your name on the ballot. No matter what I say, most people come back with an excuse to prove that they are indeed helpless. Some of them bring up the dispute over the votes in Florida and point out that Bush stole the election. They imply that it makes no difference who we vote for because the entire process is controlled. But how does anybody know what sort of cheating was going on during that election? I suspect that both sides were cheating, and the cheating was occurring in many different states, not just Florida. Al Gore supposedly got more votes overall than Bush, but how many of Al Gore's votes were illegal? If we could subtract the illegal votes from both candidates, we might find that Bush actually had more votes than Gore. When two candidates are cheating, how can we seriously accuse the winner of stealing the election? Even if the Gore team was honest, and even if Bush cheated his way to the presidency, the voters could have refused to accept Bush. The voters are not helpless. Rather, most of them have no desire to put serious thought into the election. They want to follow the crowd, not do their own research or thinking. Imagine an extreme example. Imagine that instead of John Kerry as the alternative to Bush in the upcoming election, imagine the CIA manipulates the elections and gets Jeff Dahmer nominated as the Democratic candidate. During the campaign, the Republicans complain that Dahmer is a cannibal and a murderer. But the Democrats fight back by complaining that George Bush is an alcoholic, rich kid of low intelligence, and that he may have murdered a woman he got pregnant. Now imagine that Dahmer gets elected president. And during his presidency, he kills and eats some of his interns at the White House. But despite the rumors that he is eating government employees, about 50% of the nation continues to support him. Now comes the issue for you to think about. Would you be complaining that President Dahmer should be arrested? Would you complain that the elections are a farce and the voters are helpless? Or would you be staring at your fellow citizens and asking yourself, what is wrong with these people for tolerating an election between Bush and Dahmer? During the 2000 elections, I was wondering how my mother, my neighbors, and other seemingly intelligent people could vote for Bush or Gore rather than demand new elections with new candidates. Today I wonder how most voters can continue to regard Bush as a great leader. The majority of voters behave as if they have absolutely no ability to think. The elections remind me of the news reports about teenage boys who have been arrested for having sex with a retarded girl in their neighborhood. Most voters behave like a retarded girl, and the boys who rape her are analogous to the political candidates, the CIA, and other people who deceive the girl. When boys use a retarded girl for sex, most people would say the girl is a victim and the boys are committing a crime. But what do we say when millions of voters are deceived? Is a crime being committed? If so, by whom? Are the candidates committing a crime when they lie to the voters? Are the voters helpless victims of dishonest candidates or the CIA? Most voters are deceived on a routine basis by political candidates. Every election we hear the same promises, such as no more taxes and reducing the size of government. But every year the government gets larger and taxes increase. What do we do to stop this abuse in future elections? The first time a voter falls for this deception, we could say it is because he is naive. But what happens when he believes the same lies over and over and over? Do we set up a committee to watch over the elections and make decisions on when the voters are being manipulated? If so, who watches that committee to ensure they are honest? It's possible that this problem would be reduced dramatically if our schools would teach children about voting, deception, and what to look for in a candidate. However, the attitude in America, and I suppose other nations also, is that people inherently know how to vote. Supposedly, voting is as natural as breathing. Supposedly, there is no way to help people become better voters. Compare our attitudes towards voting to the attitude a personnel department of a corporation has when it must hire managers. A personnel department will look at the past performance of a job applicant and try to determine if he has shown signs of having leadership abilities. They also interview him. If George Bush had been born into an ordinary family and applied for a management position in a corporation, the personnel department would have dismissed him as soon as they glanced at his resume because they would notice that he never did anything during his life. They would not even bother to call him in for an interview. By comparison, most voters don't care about the past performance of a candidate, nor do they have any desire to hold in-depth interviews with candidates. Is there really a difference between citizens who are voting for government leaders and corporations that are hiring people for management positions? I don't think so. In both situations, a group of people are trying to select leaders. The widespread attitude is that everybody should vote, regardless of whether they want to. We are taught that it is our duty to vote. People who don't want to vote are often ridiculed, but why should someone be pressured into selecting government officials when they have no desire to do so? This seems as stupid as pressuring a woman into having babies when she has no desire to care for them. If you were in control of a corporation, would you demand every one of your employees vote on which job applicant gets selected for top management positions? And if some employees resisted voting, would you tell them that it is their duty to vote? Some people have proposed fines for people who don't vote. But pressuring people into voting makes our situation worse because it helps incompetent candidates get elected. The reason is that the people who are forced to vote are not likely to pay much attention to the election. They are more likely to select a candidate according to what he looks like, or what sort of promises he makes, or whose name appears first on the list. Some 9/11 activists complain that this subject is not part of the 9/11 movement. But I say the reason the scams occur year after year is because our governments are crummy. I say the 9/11 activists are fooling themselves if they think that analyzing more photographs of the Pentagon attack or electing John Kerry is going to improve our situation. I say we need to spend time discussing how to get voters to do a better job. This 9/11 movement has done a good job investigating the scam, and it is doing okay with the dispersal of information. But the 9/11 movement is not learning anything about why these scams occur, nor does it discuss what we can do to prevent future scams. All we are doing is showing that the attack was a scam. This is equivalent to a car mechanic who tells you that your car has problems, but who refuses to discuss how to fix the car. We ought to be proposing changes to our nation, such as teaching children about voting. Children should also be taught to stop feeling sorry for themselves and that they are not helpless victims of a few rich families or secret societies. Children should be taught that they are responsible for themselves and their nation, and that their life and our nation is what they make it. A society is a reflection of its people. The laws in a society are a reflection of how the people behave, and the cities are a reflection of what the people want from life. The products for sale and the treatment of customers by businesses are also a reflection of the people. A good way to understand this concept is to imagine that a billion copies of you were manufactured and put on a separate planet. Of course, since your duplicates would all be the same age and sex, you would all die together, and you could not have children, but ignore the unrealistic aspects of this scenario. I bring this up only to let you think about what life would be like on a planet that is full of people exactly like you. What sort of laws would you need? Would there be car thefts? Would you build any gambling casinos? How many fistfights would be on that planet? How many wars? What would the television shows be like? How much corruption would there be in business? How many of you would be struggling desperately to become billionaires? Would airline crews be forced to stand by the door and say goodbye to people as they walked off the airplane? If each of us were put on our own planet and a billion duplicates of us were created, we would find that each planet is slightly different. The reason is that each planet would be a reflection of the person who was duplicated. After you've thought about what a planet would be like full of people exactly like you, compare that to America. Corruption has always been widespread in both business and government, and slavery reached extremes that no nation has ever seen. There's also been tremendous problems with alcohol and other drugs. Gambling is a very large industry. The books in most bookstores are at the 12-year-old intellectual level. And there is a tremendous craving for money and fame. Businessmen manipulate their employees and customers on a routine basis, and they try to find ways to exploit our laws. Would a planet with a billion duplicates of you be better or worse than America? The American people make America what it is. If the American people truly were better than all other people on the planet, then this nation would reflect their superiority. No nation is a helpless victim of a few rich families or secret societies. Rather, most people don't want to accept responsibility for themselves. We want to blame some small group of people or some mysterious force. I'll explain this concept with television news. Some people say the reason our television news is crummy is because a small number of Jews have control over the media and their goal is to destroy our society. It certainly seems true that lots of Jews have executive positions in our news organizations, and it is entirely possible that some of those Jews are fantasizing about taking control of America. However, those Jews are not forcing you or me to watch their news shows. Nor are those Jews forcing you or me to subscribe to Newsweek. Some people complain that the Jews are not giving us any alternatives, but we have lots of alternatives. First of all, we can choose to avoid their products. Second, there are alternative radio stations and television shows. We have options. We are not helpless victims of a few executives. We also have the freedom to start our own newspapers, television shows, and radio shows. Many large cities have special channels set aside for the public to produce their own television shows at no cost. How much better can our situation become? Unfortunately, the people who have produced serious television shows have discovered that only a few people will watch them. When given the choice between watching serious news or CBS News, most people prefer the sexual titillation and intellectual simplicity of the CBS News. It's like giving children the option to eat cookies or vegetables. CBS, NBC, and ABC are gigantic, highly profitable businesses with an enormous audience simply because they provide television shows that millions of people want to watch. The television companies are always experimenting with their shows in an attempt to attract more viewers. The experiments have shown that most people do not want to think. Rather, they want to be entertained, praised, and sexually titillated. Our television executives are analogous to a doctor who has discovered that he can make a lot of money by offering his patients prescriptions for codeine or Vicodin. We have laws to stop doctors from behaving in this manner, but we do not have laws to stop television executives from behaving in a similar manner. Should we create laws to regulate television news? If we create such laws, we are classifying the majority of Americans as second-class citizens who need government supervision in selecting their television shows. This brings up the question, if the majority of people need the government to regulate television news, why are we letting them vote? By not having laws to regulate television news, we end up with immoral businessmen fighting with each other to provide the public with entertainment and sexual titillation rather than news. This in turn results in children who are raised in homes where CNN and Newsweek are the source of knowledge. Also, because these television executives have such low moral standards, they are more likely to support government scams by mixing CIA propaganda into the news. The end result is that millions of children are raised on entertainment, sexual titillation, and government propaganda. And because school textbooks also contain government propaganda about Kennedy, Oklahoma City, and other issues, schools are also deceiving children. Allowing the government to regulate the news and school textbooks might seem to be a solution, but our government is so incompetent that they would make the situation worse. Before we consider allowing the government to regulate school books or the news, we must provide ourselves with a respectable government. But how can we get a respectable government when the voters are so incompetent and ignorant? American television news is a reflection of the American people. Our news is idiotic because this is the type of news that most Americans prefer. Some people believe that the disgusting aspects of our television news is due to a few Jews who are deliberately trying to destroy America. However, the people who blame Jews simply do not want to face the possibility that the American people are incapable of handling the freedom to select their own television shows. Rather than describe the American people as irresponsible and immature, the Jews are blamed for forcing us to watch idiotic television shows. Most Americans simply do not want to take responsibility for the problems in this nation, so they look for somebody to blame. The drug problem is one of the more obvious examples. Throughout my entire life, I've been listening to Americans complain that foreign drug dealers are making Americans take drugs. When I was a child, the Afghans and Turks were frequently blamed for making Americans abuse drugs. Today, most Americans blame Mexicans and South Americans. The American people simply refuse to take responsibility for their drug use. Each of us is responsible for our behavior. Nobody is making us do anything. There are no magic drug dealers to make us abuse drugs. There are no magic Jews to make us watch CBS News. And there are no magic Skull and Bones members who can make us vote for George Bush or John Kerry. It may be true that a small handful of Jews, Masons, Illuminati, or Skull and Bones members are trying to destroy America. But if any of those groups succeed, it will not be because they have magic powers. Rather, it will be because tens of millions of Americans are too incompetent to take care of their nation. I would say the main lesson we should be learning from 9/11 and other scams is that we can do something to make the world better if we stop feeling sorry for ourselves, stop blaming small groups for controlling us, and start discussing this issue of what do we do with this nation.